All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be continuing on in Matthew. Last week, we were taking a look at Jesus' teaching in a group of teachings called the Sermon on the Mount. And today, we're going to carry on with his next set of teachings, and it is in verses 38. Actually, I'll just do 38 and 39, and we'll see where we get from there. An eye for an eye. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. The title of today, I said, was a mirror, mirror on the wall. And last week's teaching, we sort of talked about it being a bit of a sleepy text. If you take a look before, we were talking about the importance of keeping our words last week, and that was following some texts on murder. It was following some texts on adultery. It was following a text on divorce. So we have these pretty significant teachings of Jesus on some pretty significant topics, and all of a sudden it's the importance of keeping our word. And then today we come back to something, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, don't resist an evil person. And some commentators have read through this part of the Sermon on the Mount, and they actually claim this or talk about this as being the high watermark on the Sermon on the Mount, the high watermark. As Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount from last week, we're talking about Jesus, one of the foundations is this idea of the kingdom of heaven has broken into the world. And what Jesus is describing in the Sermon on the Mount is what kingdom of heaven living looks like compared to the world. And so he's been comparing how the world operates and then how kingdom of heaven operates. This high-level mark that we're talking about as he's coming to this point is talking about resisting an evil person. Next is loving our enemies. These are huge, huge teachings about Christ. And so that's why some people, this is the high point, getting to the high point of the sermon with regards to the challenges of living kingdom of heaven life. Last week, we also talked about the importance of context when we're reading Scripture. The context is so important when we're trying to understand what Jesus is actually trying to tell us or teach us. There are some people who have taken this, but I tell you, resist not an evil person, Leo Tolstoy. Anybody recognize the name Tolstoy? He was a Russian who lived in the late 1800s, and some actually would say he's probably one of the greatest writers of all time. One of his books is pretty well known as War and Peace. He has a number of quotable quotes. One of his quotes is, "To know God and to live is the same thing because God is life." And when Tolstoy took a look at this teaching of Christ, he took it at face value. He took it at literally. Do not resist an evil person. And from that, what he deducted or what he concluded was that to have soldiers, to have a police force, to even have judges and a judicial system was unchristian. Jesus has said, don't resist an evil person. He thought that evil was not to be resisted. No punishment for crime. Resist not an evil person. That was his interpretation of what Jesus was saying. And I guess our question today is Jesus teaching passive resistance in the face of an evil person, encountering an evil person? So today what I'd like to do is take a look, first of all, what does the Mosaic law around eye for eye, tooth for tooth actually teach? What and how were the Pharisees mishandling that Mosaic teaching? And then what is Jesus teaching about kingdom of heaven living and resisting an evil person? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. This is actually a reference and a couple of references. One, it's a reference to Mosaic law, and they find it in Exodus 21, 24. And this is when God was talking about regarding personal injuries between the people of God. So what happened when somebody injured somebody else? Somebody took advantage of somebody else? Somebody hurt somebody else? What did God have to say about that particular situation? Exodus 21, 24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. In Leviticus, same thing, same language, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Seems a little bloodthirsty, savage. How many would sort of agree that doesn't really sound like a loving God? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And if we don't get the context of that, then we miss a bit of the meaning of what was going on with this Mosaic legislation. So three things I'd just like to quickly point out about where this eye for eye, tooth for tooth came from and why it's important. It was actually meant as a control for excesses. Rather than being bloodthirsty and savage, it was actually meant as a way to control the excesses of anger, of violence, and the desire for revenge and retaliation when people were having disputes among themselves. What was happening before this legislation, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, people were just hammering each other. Somebody would do something to somebody else, somebody would take it back in another degree. And there was massive retaliation, revenge, and sinful just responses in the life of the people of God. So it was actually, rather than being savage and bloodthirsty, it was a way to control excesses of sinful behavior. Last week we talked a little bit about throwing stones. Anybody remember throwing stones at glass houses last week? Right? We were talking about the Pharisees looking for loopholes, and that if we're honest with ourselves, mirror, mirror on the wall, I look for loopholes after all. If I took a look at my own life, there are times when I'm looking for loopholes to get out of things that I've said, things that I've promised. And I think part of what God wanted me to try to, he spoke to me about it today or this week, is that I have to see myself in part of this story. I have to see myself in the story in order to sort of hear what Jesus is teaching. I think if we're honest with each other, we all have it. And what is it? We have this desire that when something happens to us that's wrong, that's unjust, we have this tendency, the first tendency is to want to retaliate. We want to strike back. I don't know about you, but I do. It's in there. That I want to strike back, I want to retaliate, I want to respond. This desire to retaliate and this desire for revenge when I've been unjustly treated is in there. Is in there. And this week I'd like to go back to the same thing for me anyway, throwing stones at those people when you think, oh yeah, they retaliated. Oh yeah, they were looking for revenge. Oh yeah, they wanted their pound of flesh. And I have to say, mirror, mirror on the wall, it's easy for me to lash back after all. I need to see myself having that in me as part of my sinful nature. So part of the context of that legislation was to take and control excesses and take a chaotic situation that was out of control and to put some control around it. It was also attached to an ancient law called Lex Talionis, which is one of the oldest laws, actually predated the Bible. And Lex Talionis, the motto for there is basically tit for tat. I think most of us are familiar with that tit for tat phrase, where basically what they're saying is the penalty fits the crime and doesn't exceed it. And that's what eye for eye, tooth for tooth, foot for foot, hand for hand. The principle behind that is that the penalty for the injustice fits the crime and doesn't exceed it. So that was point one about this eye for eye, tooth for tooth. It's not savage, it's actually meant to put a control on a pretty nasty situation. The second part was, is that it was administered by judges. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth was administered by judges within God's people. It was not meant for individuals to take that upon themselves, right? I think most of you may be familiar with Moses' day. People were having disputes. What did they do when they had disputes? They didn't work it out among themselves. They would take it to people in the community who were designated as judges. And these judges would hear the case, hear both sides of the case, and then the judges would decide what that tit for tit was going to be about, what the punishment was in response to the crime that had been committed. One of the purposes of that, taking it out of the hands of the people and putting it in the hands of judges, was to reduce the tendency to retaliate and reduce the tendency of people to be vigilantes. You've done this to me, I'm going to do this to you. And again, before I point the finger at those vigilante-type people, I'm sort of going, you know, any Clint Eastwood fans out there? Anybody like a good Clint Eastwood show? How many? Put your hand up. Don't be shy. Put your hand up there. Dirty Harry. Anybody like Dirty Harry movies? Be proud. Oh, yeah. I like Dirty Harry movies. I shouldn't, but I do. And pretty much at every Dirty Harry movie, this was something that happens. He's basically a rogue cop, works on his own, can't have a partner because he's really hard to deal with. Clint Eastwood, so he's hot, just for the women out there. So he periodically, what he does is he takes the law into his own hands. Right? Periodically, he will take the law into his own hands. And he finds himself, usually with himself, and he uses the term we in some of his encounters with bad guys. We can't let you go. And the one guy says, who's we? And he says, Smith and Wesson and me. Because he carries a Colt 45 Magnum, super long barrel, and that's his we, Colt, Wesson, and me. So at some point in the show, there's some robbery going on, something goes on, there's five or six robbers, five or six bad guys. He gets interrupted, either he's having coffee or he's having lunch. He's upset, he goes out, and basically there's a gun battle, right? He normally kills maybe four, five out of the six, but there's always one guy that's left, right? One guy that's left wounded, one guy that's holding a hostage, one guy that's laying on the ground bleeding with a shotgun that far away from his hand. In the final scene, comes to with Clint Eastwood coming up to the person with his Smith & Wesson out, right? This far away from the person, pointed at his head. And he's just waiting for the guy to do something so he can kill him, right? And these classic lines from some of these shows are, one, he's pointing at a guy and he says, go ahead, make my day, right? Make my day. Go for the gun. Please, please go for the gun, right? And there's a part of me that says, hey, I want the guy to go for the gun, right? He's just robbed a bank. He's just killed some people. Another one where the guy's holding a hostage, right, in a coffee shop. And he walks up to the guy, and he's this far away, and he says, do you feel lucky, punk? All right? Vigilantes, right? Vigilante style. I'm going to take the law into my own hands. I'm going to deal with it. I got to admit, I like his style. There's a little bit of me. There's a little bit of me in there that goes, yes. There's a little bit of Dirty Harry in me. Maybe in you too. There you go. Mirror, mirror on the wall. I have a little vigilante heart, after all. And I think today, moving a bit more serious, is one of the issues that people are having with the tit for tit mentality, tit-for-tat mentality, is in our current justice system, our current judicial system. And what the problem is, people, penalties are not, in people's estimation, suiting the crime. How many times do you see interviews outside the court of law? There's been an injustice done. Somebody has been killed, somebody has been raped, somebody's been robbed, somebody's been killed by a drunk driver. And the people are waiting for what? They're waiting for justice, right? They're waiting that the punishment is the same as the crime, suits the crime. And the reality is, for a lot of people today, the confidence in the judicial system is waning because they're finding it's not a justice system, it's a legal system. We go back to loopholes, lawyers looking for loopholes. And what do we find? People are getting frustrated. People are getting angry because they're not seeing justice served in the world. That's the eye for eye, tooth for tooth mentality. That's the system of tit for tat. Punishment deals with the offense, but doesn't exceed it. The third part about eye for eye, tooth for tooth is that it was called a permission. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth was a permission. It was an accommodation of God because of our fallen nature and our tendency to sin. And for us, a sense that we want to get even, we want to retaliate when something is done to us. And so this eye for eye, tooth for tooth is something God said, you know, I'll let you have this. But it's also, as he's saying, if something happens to you, if you must have compensation, if you must have compensation for something that's been done to you, at least make it fair. And at least make it civil. Make it eye for eye, tooth for tooth, foot for foot. Don't make it life for foot. And it's also important to realize that this permission is a permission because from the beginning, God has never wanted people to take revenge on one another. From the beginning. Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God. So I think it's important when Jesus is talking about, you have heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He's talking about this tit-for-tat system, punishment, and the punishment suits the crime. But that is meant to be a concession. It's not actually God's perfect will. That sort of makes sense? Okay. So we've got that it's meant to control excesses. We've got that it's supposed to be dispensed by judges, and that it is a permission and a concession. The second part was the mishandling of the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees do to mishandle this particular eye for eye, tooth for tooth? And there was two things that the Pharisees were doing. One was that the Pharisees were thinking it wasn't just for judges. The Pharisees were taking it upon themselves that they thought that they had enough information, that they were smart enough, that they were God's people, God's leaders, that they would be able to take upon that responsibility themselves. And the other thing was that they had this idea that the tit for tat was a duty, it was a right. And they totally washed out the idea that this was a permission and a concession. And they reduced it to typical legal terms. This happens, and they totally missed the spirit of the law that it was given. So that's sort of the context of eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And then Jesus goes on to say, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Two key words just to finish up today in this particular teaching of Jesus. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But to you and the evil person. Who is Jesus talking about when he talks about you? But I say to you. Who is he talking about? Well, in Jesus' day, when Jesus was doing this teaching, he would have been surrounded by his followers, by his disciples. These would have been people who had heard the good news of God. Jesus' gospel, Messiah has come, repent and believe the good news. So these would have been people who had taken Jesus at his offer, repented, believed, and were now learning what kingdom of heaven living was like in comparison to living by the way of the world. If I was sitting in that audience in that day, that's who he is talking about. Me as an individual. And today, when I read this text and I say to you, who is he talking? He's talking to me. He's talking to me as a person who has heard the good news, has made a decision to believe and receive what Jesus has done for me on the cross, started a relationship with Jesus Christ, wanting to follow Jesus Christ, and wanting to know what Jesus has to say about living the kingdom life for him. I tell you, Mark, do not resist an evil person. Two things that's important around the you. This is not for unbelievers or nations of the world. Jesus is not talking to those people who have not received the gospel. Because this teaching of Jesus that we find today, that we find next week on loving our enemies, is so radically different, right? Is so opposite to and so countercultural to the world's teaching. You've probably seen the illustration before. If the world's saying, this is the way the values are and this is the way you should be heading, 9 times out of 10, which way is God saying to go? The other way. His teachings are so different than what the world thinks and believes and practices. And it is impossible, almost, I'd say impossible, it's really hard even with the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for a person who has not been born again, who has not received the Holy Spirit, to live kingdom of heaven living. It's impossible. The high water mark that Jesus calls us to not resisting an evil person, to loving our enemies, is really only possible for those people who have the living God living in them by his Spirit. For the world, for a nation, for an unbeliever, the law still applies. The judicial system still applies. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, tit for tat. That is the way of the world. That's the law of the world. That's the way it operates. And it's important. It preserves law and order, maintains justice, and controls evil, that system. The second thing about the you is that it concerns me as an individual. He's saying to me, Mark, as an individual, in your individual personal relationships, that's where this resist an evil person applies. He is not talking about my relationship as a citizen to the country of Canada. He's not talking about that where I have a relationship with all of the other Canadians in Canada. This passage is not about answering the question, what is my duty to my country if I'm thinking about joining the armed forces? That's not what this text is talking about. This text is not talking about my relationship and my duty as a staff member at Pemberton Secondary School, where I have relationships among my colleagues. This does not answer the question of, Mark, should I go and walk the picket line during job action? This is not what this text is talking about. It's talking about me in my personal relationships with other people, one-on-one, when something happens to me that I feel is unjust and unfair or I have been wronged. Verse 39 says, do not resist an evil person. Do not resist. What does that mean? It's probably better translated, do not resist a Greek word called tupanero, which is when translated in its masculine form, is translated as the man who injures you. So a better translation of do not resist an evil person is do not resist the person who injures you. Do not resist a person who injures you. The interpretation of the two Panero as evil, according to some of the people I was reading about this week, it's way too general a term to translate that to the term evil. And it leads to a doctrine that evil should never be resisted and is a wrong deduction from this verse, which, according to what we talked at the beginning, Tolstoy got it wrong. That this is not about having police. This is not about having an army. This is not about evil in the court systems. Jesus is talking about me in my personal relationship, a one-on-one relationship with someone who does me harm. Do not resist a person who does you harm. Big difference, right? You have heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. As I was thinking about a summary, a paraphrase of the teaching today, this is what I sort of came up with, that Jesus is saying to me, Mark, tit for tat is the way the world works. Tit for tat is the way the world works, not the way the kingdom of heaven works. As you follow me in your personal relationships with those around you, that you don't retaliate, that you don't resist when someone injures you or mistreats you. Tit for tat is the way the world works, not the way the kingdom of heaven works. As you follow me in your personal relationships with those around you, that you don't retaliate and you don't resist when someone injures you or mistreats you. Which sort of begs the question for next week is, if I don't retaliate and I don't resist when I'm injured or mistreated, what do I do? What do I do? And Jesus gives us the answer to that question in the illustrations that he follows up next week. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came. Not only, Lord, to ultimately pay for our sin, to give us the opportunity to be right with you and our Heavenly Father, but that you also came to teach us and to show us what kingdom of heaven living is about. That your way of living is so radically different than the world. And you call us to that. And you call us not to judge the world, but in the way that we live following you, that people would see this amazing, amazing love. And that as you equip us and help us and enable us to live that life, that we would have the chance to point people to you, that you would get all the glory, that the lost would come home. And we confess, God, that that little bit of mirror, mirror lives in all of us, in our sinful nature. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to take more and more and more control of our lives as we let you. That we would see the fruit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, in our lives that would point people to you. It's all for your glory, and it's all in your name. Amen.